Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And, folks, with me today is Tim Horton. And, Tim, you had a toad sack down at Okeechobee, man. We thought you were going to break the record.
Oh, man, it was that was a lot of fun catching that 33-10 or something the first day. That was the funnest day I've ever had in tournament fishing. That was awesome.
Well, you know, you look back at it, you know, and as an angler who fishes all the time, you think about one of those days that you just always will remember as just being a highlight of your career.
Yeah, it was. I remember about 1 o'clock late that evening, I culled a fish that was about 5.5 pounds. And, you know, usually, that's your kicker fish. And that was a fish that I just culled with one about 5.75. So, oh, man, it was just one of those days where everything just went right, all the big fish that bit. I was able to land. I didn't lose any of them. And it was just one of those special places.
Well, you know, you look back at it, Okeechobee, you know, of course, with all the hurricane activity and everything else has changed, I'm sure, drastically, and in particular the north end of the lake. But you found a group of fish that you stayed with pretty much throughout the tournament and just absolutely spanked them.
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of fun. Greg Hackney and I were both fishing the same area, and it was amazing. I think we caught like 130 pounds in 4 days off of this little spot. And it was fun to share that area with Greg. He was a super sportsman, and we enjoyed seeing each other fish and how each other did everything. And it was one of those special places. The hurricane really did. It really destroyed the north end of the lake, which hopefully will come back soon. But it really also concentrated the fish in a tight area. So when you did find them, it was really good.
Well, you know, you talk about the hack attack, you know, and some of those kind of things, but I think the pressure of that event probably was escalated a little bit because you guys could see each other and he was right in the hunt with you.
Oh, it did, especially that last day. You know, he got off to a strong start that morning, and those fish would be in little clusters, and he hit one of those little clusters first thing that morning, and he actually went ahead of me, and I knew that. And it did. It put a lot of pressure on it, and I made a little move at the end. It was fortunate that I caught a few, but especially someone as hot as he is right now, it really did add a little bit more pressure to it.
Well, you go out there, and of course you're throwing a tube, and you know, maybe talk to the fans out there and tell them a little bit how you were at your technique process.
Well, what I was doing was just fishing it with a heavy one and a 1.5 ounce tungsten weight, and I was pegging it with that Yum Viber King tube. You remember, Terry, that was the bait I won at Toho on a couple of years ago, and for whatever reason, that is just a super bait down in Florida. It has a solid head, and it really fishes that heavy cover well down in Florida.
Oh, that extra heavy weight, you know, having that solid head, it also probably gives you a little bit more hook setting power.
It does. It keeps the hooks rigged up good. And when you would set the hook on one of those big fish, you landed them almost every time. Now, some of those little ones, you know, you didn't have the resistance when you set back on them. It didn't drive in as good. But for the most part, those big fish really did. It was a super presentation on that Yum tube.
Well, you're going to get ready here pretty quick. You're going to be heading back down to Okeechobee. You got an advantage, do you think?
Well, we'll see. I really enjoy Florida. Those fish move a lot down there, though, and that's just one of the places I have a lot of confidence in for whatever reason.
Well, you know, the respectability in the pro game, I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, people are going to know you caught those fish there, and, you know, I can guarantee you some people might come in there and maybe infringe on that a little bit, but overall, the real pros, the tour pros, they're not going to do that, are they?
Yeah, you know, we do. We have a good etiquette out here, and you know, for the most part, the guys are real respectful. I know that first day that Greg and I fished that area, there were probably 8 to 10 other boats fishing in that area, and for the most part, they all, you know, subdued to us because we had a chance to win the tournament. And Greg was even halfway willing to give it up to me, and I said, "Man, no, this role could reverse, and you could come back catching them." And we were laughing about it, talking about flipping a coin because we didn't think it would hold up for the both of us for 2 days. But as you've seen, he almost come back and beat me. But, yeah, for the most part, it is. It's a great etiquette out here, and we have great sportsmanship amongst the anglers.
Well, you know, he's becoming, you know, when you talk about him fishing against you and how hot he is right now, but he's kind of becoming the king of second-place finishes. You know, Tommy Biffle had that award for a lot of years, but now old Hack Attack's starting to have that happen to him.
Yeah, but I told him, I said, there is probably only about 150 people that would like to be finishing second in every single tournament they fish. He is I told him not to let that get him down, man. His time is coming, and when he breaks out on winning, he's going to start winning just as much as he's finishing second. But even though he's finishing second right now, he's far and away the hottest guy on tour, on either tour, and he is has made a name for himself that is precedented as what Kevin did and Jay did and all the greats that have come along.
Well, let's just add Tim Horton in that thing, too, because I'm going to talk about something. You know, as you fish these tournaments and continue to win, You are also a member of the BAAC, and it's got to be one of those things where you got to have that in your mind once in a while. I know this big boat issue now, you know, the anglers had their own boats kind of taken away from them, you know, due to sponsor obligations, but you guys really want your boats back.
Yeah, we do. It's so important on so many different realms. It's not, people are making it out so much to be the rat boats who gets the money from the corporate America, but it's so much more than that. You know, we're used to how our boats compete. It would be like a golfer having his own clubs taken away and say, well, this club company is sponsoring this event. You got to use these clubs. It's really an unfortunate situation for us. You know, the companies that pay us to run those boats and motors, and we can't get them on TV on the final days, or we can't even feel comfortable using something that we use all along. So it is confusing to the fans, you know, to see us out there in a ProCraft shirt and in a boat that's not even a ProCraft boat or a Nitro or a Basscat or whatever it is that these people are using. And it's confusing to our fans, and it's really holding our sport back, and it's something we're striving forward to work towards. And the anglers are on the BAAC all the time. Hey, this is our biggest issue. When are we going to get this resolved? And you know, we're trying. We're trying to make leeway. ESPN has done a lot that has been super for our sport, and Bass has. But this is one topic that, you know, both sides are kind of entrenched in, and we've got to find a way to make it work for both sides.
Well, you know, you're a guy, and sometimes when you get on the top of a hot issue, you know, sometimes people think, well, you're adversarial or you may, you know, may just be hard to get along with. But it's very, very contrary to Tim Horton. You know, you're not that way. And what you're trying to do constructively is try to put together a program that's a win-win. Not only does it win for the anglers, which is a very big point for you, but also, you know, it's really adding credibility to the sport.
Right, it is. It's complete credibility, you know, to be out there. You know, Aaron Martin's had a fish die at this year's Classic from a live well that he wasn't used to. What if that had cost him the Classic? You know, you can go on and on about it, about the credibility aspect of it, about the financial aspect of it. And, you know, I don't know that anyone's thought about it as much as I have over the last year. And I've ran it through my mind. I've even played the devil's advocate on our side to look at it from the other issue from BASS's perspective. And it's just, it's undebatable. I mean, it really is, and I hope that we can find a way to get there to where we're using our boats on the final days. And you know, you can look at any sport. I mean, it would be as foolish as the guys in NASCAR getting out of their cars and finishing the final 10 laps in another car. It's just it's something we've got to overcome. All the anglers feel strongly about it, and I just hope politics move aside and we're able to get this worked out.
Well, you know, the nice thing about it is that Bass is willing to talk to you, and I know they've got sponsor obligations and all those kind of things, you know, and it's not about one wrap boat. It's maybe about two or three a year, and all of a sudden it starts escalating.
Exactly, Terry. You know, we that was starting to happen. You know, you've seen the Bush deal with Denny Brower, and Randy Howe had a wrap boat deal, Skeet Reese, a bunch of different people, and it was starting to happen. And when that went away, TV is everything in marketing and in corporate America. You know, TV, internet, radio, it all culminates into what's happening in the photographs. You know, when you see a photograph in print or on a website or something, and it looks like you know, it's not even us in our own boats that people are accustomed to seeing us in. It's confusing to the fans. And for us to be able to escalate that, let's say we get 10 to 15 people who are able to get a sponsorship deal this year, the next year five or six. Well, you look at, you know, they say they've got this deal through 2008. I could see by 2008, 2009, the entire tour being able to get this program going for themselves. And we're holding ourselves back so bad. It's really a shame. It's just fundamentally, competitively, respect from the fans, not being confusing to the fans, financially for the anglers. You know, you see, there are 20 to 30 of us that are making a great living, and fortunately, I'm one of those guys. But I see so many of my friends that are struggling, and the boat deals and motor deals are getting worse for guys. And you can't blame these boat and motor manufacturers, because it's a guarantee of what's going to be on TV anyway. So we've really got to strive to make this work for everybody.
Well, you know, Tim, there's nobody that I think that we want out front in these kind of discussions than the guys that are out there. You know, you're one of the leaders there, and I know it'll work out. I know that, you know, as an angler myself, you look back over the years, and you're going to see great things happening here in the way of professional fishing. I appreciate you being with me here at Bass Fan Radio.
Hey, Terry, thank you for the opportunity so much, and thanks for the kind compliments on the wind down in Okeechobee.
Well, I tell you what, all of us we're pulling for you, and when you see that kind of weight come in, it makes all of us smile. And I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.